All right, we're in the book of 3 John, the book of 3 John. And we're going to take a look today at this whole book. Are you panicking yet? It's only 14 verses, all right? When you get to the end of 3 John and the end of 2 John, especially 2 John is one of my favorites, so listen up, teenagers, you'll want to write this down. Oh, it's written down already for you. All you have to do is write down the reference, all right? At the end of 2 John, listen to what it says. So when you're writing one of those love letters, guys, with, this is a good thing for us too, every now and again as well, right? Listen to what it says, verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with pen and ink, but I trust to come unto you, and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Wow, there's not a woman that wouldn't swoon over those words. That's just, in the book of the 3 John, in similarly, that's why I bring it up, verse 13, it says, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. So those are just great ones for you, but that's not really what we're looking at. We're going to look at the whole of the book today. Let's read verse 1, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer and jump into this study this morning. It says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Father, God, I pray that you would help us today as we assemble ourselves around your word, that we would let this short but wonderful epistle speak to our hearts, to challenge us, to turn our hearts to you, to your people. And Father, we will just give you praise and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love to read John. John was overwhelmed with the concept of the love of God. The only person to ever refer to John as the disciple that Jesus loved was John. It's an amazing thing as you read through the Gospel of John. He'll say, and Peter was there, and James was there, and the disciple whom Jesus loved was there. And it's not that Jesus loved John more. It is that John seems to be just overwhelmed with the love of God. He's the one that wrote the great passage in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John understood, and maybe he didn't, maybe that's the whole point, the love of God and what it meant to him. And so he allows then the love of God to shine through him toward others. And so throughout the epistles, John turns his heart toward God's people. And that's what you have here in the book of 3 John. I read through this epistle, and I think of Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. I really do. I would count you as those beloved ones to me. God has blessed my life, and one of the great blessings of my life is that he called me here to be your pastor. And we have enjoyed sweetness throughout the years, and God has knit our hearts, I think. You know, when I think of us as a church, I think of Jonathan and David, right? The Bible says that Jonathan's heart was knit with David so that he loved David as his own soul. You know, that's kind of what God has just over the years done for Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. So what you have and what I'm pointing out is that as we look through this epistle, this is John speaking to people that he loves dearly. It's not intended for rebuke, even though there's going to be one in here. It's really just intended to just encourage, to build people up, and to just pour out his heart to the people that he loves so desperately. And so he writes this to the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Gaius, I'm sorry. Now verse 2, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. Now, I think the first part of that is like, this is great. Don't you just like it when your pastor says, I wish above all things that you would just be healthy? That's just a great thing for a pastor to say. And by the way, I do wish that you would be healthy. I don't like making hospital visits. It's not fun. I don't like people staying at home because they're sick and they don't want to spread it around, although I appreciate the fact that they don't want to spread it around. I don't like that. I want you to be healthy. And that's just a great thing. But then John has to add this last little thing on there that almost makes it like a slap in the face. He says, I want you Look at what it says. Above all things, to prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. In other words, here's what John says. I want your physical health to be as good as your spiritual health is. Yikes. Now, for many, that's like fantastic. That'd be great. If I could be as physically strong as I am spiritually, that'd be fantastic, right? But I have a feeling for most Christians that at that moment they're thinking, oh my, I'm not sure if my physical health was a mirror of my spiritual health, how healthy would I be? And so what John does now is spends a little bit of time just describing what it looks like to be healthy. And he's going to, by the way, if we just were to put that into words real quickly, what would be some of the things that would make you spiritually healthy? Say what? You would be reading the Word of God. So, in other words, if you're going to be as healthy as you read the Bible, how healthy will you be if this blessing comes true for you? And if I seldom ever read the Bible, then how healthy would my body be? I mean, this is what John's saying. Give me another one. What's another thing that would make us? Witnessing, all right? I'm going to be obedient to the Word. I'm not going to just read the Word. I'm going to be obedient to it. So I'm going to witness to people, or I'm going to show love to my wife. Husbands, love your wives as God has Christ loved the church. Or I'm going to, children, obey your parents. Or I'm going to take the Word of God and start putting it to work. So if I'm not actually applying the Word of God to my life, am I really spiritually healthy? And if my physical health were to reflect my spiritual health, would that be a good thing? Give me one more. Prayer. Okay, you guys got all that came all from everywhere. So, your prayer life. I mean, are we praying people? I mean, of course we're praying people. I pray for my meals, and I pray every time something bad happens to me. That's probably about where our prayer life is, and that's not exactly the healthiest of prayer lives. Because if we only talk to God at mealtime and when there's a problem, and that would be reflected in our marriage relationship, that wouldn't make for a healthy marriage, right? And so it's the same kind of concept. You get the idea. So John wants this. He says, I want, above all things, I want you to be physically healthy, and I want you to be spiritually healthy. And he's going to begin to describe what some of that looks as we finish out this chapter. Verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now, here's what he says. When he says that other people came and testified about the fact that these people over here were walking in the truth, what do we call that? We call that having a good testimony. The idea is this. If I went to your work tomorrow, followed you to work, and interviewed your employee, your co-workers, what would they say? That's the idea, right? I mean, John says, look, this is what healthy Christianity looks like. When your testimony is reflecting a good, solid testimony, when it's reflecting the love of Christ, when other people are seeing that God is doing a work in your life, then it's reflecting a healthy spiritual walk. You see how this works? He says, I am so excited about this because other people came and testified of the truth that is in you, things that are happening there in your life, even that thou walkest in the truth. And by the way, verse 4, every parent has grabbed hold of verse 4 at some point in their life. And if you've never heard verse 4, then you're about to grab hold of it. It says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. As a parent, that is true. But understand that in ministry, while, this may be difficult for some of you to accept, you are my children. Do you understand? In ministry, your Sunday school class, your children's church class, your Kids for Truth, your Vacation Bible School, whatever it happens to be, all of those, they become your children. And we begin, as we pour our lives into other people, then our desire is to see that they're walking in the truth. Now, I've reached that point in my life now where I'm actually can honestly say that there is no greater joy from a father than that your children are walking in the truth. I mean, I'm thrilled that my kids love the Lord and love this church, and they're here and they're faithful, and wow, there's no greater joy than that. But that doesn't stop just with JD and Mia and Abby. You understand that? It actually incorporates you. There's no greater joy. How does a pastor say, wow, my ministry has been worthwhile? It's because when we see those who we're pouring our lives into embracing the truth, wow, that makes it all worthwhile. What does it look like to be spiritually healthy? Well, we have this strong testimony. What does it look like to be spiritually healthy? We're embracing the truth of God's word, and we're living it out. That's what John is describing here. And in verse 4, by the way, he says that this is a joy. Can I point this out to you? Those of you who haven't yet figured this out, I think most of you have. But ministry is not a burden. It's not. Ministry is a joy. And if your ministry is a burden to you, then you're missing something. There's something not right. And it's not that the ministry is not right. There's something not right here. Do you understand? I'm not saying that everything that happens in ministry is the greatest thing that's ever happened. That's not what joy means. Joy isn't dependent upon the circumstances. But ministry ought not to be a burden. So, you know, I do cringe when I hear people say, oh, I've got nursery next week. There's joy missing, right? It ought not be a burden. It is a joy to pour our lives into other people. And it's an exceptional joy when we see them embrace the truth and begin to walk in it. And so he describes this as joy. Go on to verse 5. Beloved, thou doest, what's that next word? You know what good, solid, spiritual walking looks like? Do you know what it looks like to be spiritually healthy? It means that we are faithful. It means that we are dependable. That God says, God uses that word faithful like dependable. God says, if you are faithful in these little things, if I can trust you with these little things, if you are dependable over here, then I will give you greater opportunity, right? This idea of spiritual health is reflected in a faithfulness. Hit and miss Christians are missing spiritual health. Do you understand? They have the flu. Hit and miss Christians are sick in their Christian walk. They've lost out on faithfulness. Because spiritual health is reflected in a faithfulness to the things of God. Amen? Pastor, now you're starting to meddle. I don't plan on being here tonight. Spiritual health is reflected in faithfulness to the things of God. I didn't say it, so you don't have to take me to task on it. I didn't say it. John says, listen, here is why I know that you're walking in the truth, because you have great love. Here's why I know that you're walking in the truth, because you have a great testimony. Here's why I know you're walking in the truth, because there's joy. Here's how I know you're walking in the truth, because there is faithfulness to what you're doing. It's not a hit and miss. It's a faithfulness to their Christian walk. Verse 6, I'm sorry, let's finish out verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And he goes on, look at verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, that you bring them on their journey. I mean, he goes on to say this, this faithfulness is shown out in the way that you're treating each other. Do you see how this works? If you don't understand what it means to be a part of a church family, wow, I mean, you're missing out on some of the greatest blessings. But it's not just church family. It's those who are strangers. And it's this willingness to show the love of Christ, to reach out. This faithfulness is exhibited in reaching out to other people. You know, the Christian who draws a circle around himself and it's all about me and, okay, I'm here, Pastor, serve me. No, I'm here, Pastor, give me something. If all you're doing is ever taking in and never giving out, you're missing something here. And that spiritual health is going to begin to show up as spiritual sickness. Because spiritual health doesn't say, feed me. Spiritual health says, let me feed you. Do you see how this works? They're reaching out to one another. They're reaching out to the stranger. They're showing charity in the church and through the church. There's this constantly reaching out concept. That is spiritual health. Are we spiritually healthy people? Are we doing what God has called us to do? What's a relationship to the church like? What's a relationship to each other like? What's a relationship to strangers, to those who are without, like? Because that is shows good spiritual health. Go on to verse 7. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Wherefore, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now, this is the next step in this spiritual health. Spiritual health requires cooperation. If you're a loner, then there's a step you need to take to be spiritually healthy. Okay, I'm not saying that most of us couldn't do a lot more on our own, all right? I'm not saying that, neither is God. But spiritual health has this concept of cooperation. We receive each other, we help each other going out. There's some of you that maybe say, you know, I'd like to get involved in something, Pastor, I just don't know where to what the next step should be. And somebody else needs to come alongside and, hey, let's walk this way together. There's that concept, let's receive each other, and then let's go forth together. It's this spiritual health. A church that is working together is a healthy church, amen? But a church that is just a bunch of loner people doing their own thing, that's a disaster in the making. It's not going to work that way, because that's not the way the healthy relationship looks. God likes for us to exemplify the relationship that we have with him, which is exemplified by marriage, right? So we become one. We cooperate. We become one body, literally, and we're working together, every joint supplying, remember, in Ephesians chapter 4? And so we've got to get to that point. This is what spiritual health looks like. Now let's go down to verse 9. Let me show you what spiritual health does not look like. Here's that little rebuke that John's going to throw in the middle of this. Not because he's trying to rebuke these people. He's encouraging them the whole time. Work together. Reach out to other people. Love each other. Find joy. All of this kind of stuff. He gets down to verse 9. He says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes. I don't just love those names. Diotrephes. Is he like a... That sounds like... I know he's not, but it sounds like a... you know, like one of the philosophers of ancient Greek, right? But anyway, it says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, look what it says, who loveth to have preeminence among them. This is the first thing. How do I know if I'm not being very healthy, Pastor John? Well, if I've drawn a circle around myself, if I want people to say, oh, John Ray, you're just such a wonderful preacher, John Ray, and I'm, you know, killing myself to get that good little pat on the back, if I love to have the preeminence, if I won't do something that does not draw attention to myself, if I won't do something that nobody else will ever know, you understand? Then I'm missing out on something. And so he says, listen, there's a problem here. This guy, Diotrephes, he was missing it. He wasn't spiritually healthy. This guy loved to have the preeminence. And goes on, he says, among them, receiveth us not. But it doesn't say for you to not receive Diotrephes. It says Diotrephes wouldn't receive you. You see the idea? He is not only is he liking the preeminence, but he has a tendency to kind of look down his nose at everyone else who just doesn't quite measure up to Diotrephes. You see how this works? He receiveth us not. Diotrephes says, no, I'm too good for the likes of that emotional Apostle John, or Pastor John, whatever you want to say. I don't want to have anything to do with that. And he receiveth them not, because he liked to have the preeminence. Go on to verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, his deeds, which he doeth. And here's what he does. He prates against us, prating against us with malicious words. In other words, he's trying to cause trouble. This person who's not spiritually healthy is going to be involved in gossip. This person who's not spiritually healthy is going to have malicious words. In other words, they're going to say mean things about other people. That's what this unhealthy person, spiritually speaking, looks like. He likes to be in the limelight. He likes the preeminence. And he looks down his nose at people. And he's out there just causing trouble. In fact, his goal, you'll see, is to divide people. He's not content. Look what it says. Not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, but forbiddeth them that would. It's more than just the saying, you know what, you're not good enough, I don't want you over here. It's more than that. Anybody who makes friends with them, he also forbids. Do you see how this works? I mean, he's just up there trying to divide people. He's not working toward unity. He's not working toward oneness. And it says, goes on, it says, and casteth them out of the church. I mean, to the extent that Diotrephes is abusing his authority. See how this works? He's abusing his authority. Have you ever known anybody like that? If it's me, don't tell me. No, you. If it is me, you need to tell me. I mean that sincerely. I don't want to ever be that person. Have you ever? Please don't raise your hand or anything. Have you ever sat under a pastor who abused their authority? Who just took upon himself way more authority than God or the church had ever given them? And it wreaks havoc on a ministry. It's difficult for a ministry to be sustained. Now, they might still come because they're afraid not to, right? But what's missing is joy and oneness and service and all the things that he said look like a healthy spiritual walk. That's what's missing. And so Diotrephes is doing this. He's dividing the church. He's saying mean things. He loves to be well thought of. That's Diotrephes. Go back on now to verse 11. He's going to flip back. He says, follow not that. Follow not that. Follow not that which is evil. But instead, follow that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. But he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And then we get down to verse 12. Demetrius, don't mix him up with Diotrephes, different guy. Demetrius hath a good report, and of the truth itself, yea, of all men, and of the truth itself, and yea, and we also bear record. Now here's this guy, Demetrius. Wow. Not only does the church think highly of him, and not only does this group of apostles over here think highly of him, but the truth itself, the word of God, reflects well on the testimony of this guy, Demetrius. So he says, let me tell you what a healthy Christian looks like, Gaius. A healthy Christian looks like Demetrius. And sandwiched in between here is Diotrephes. Don't be like him. See how this works? And throughout all this, John says, there would be nothing greater than for me to know that you are being like these men, Gaius and Demetrius. Finding the joy of God in the love of God, in the church of God, in the service of God. See how that works? Healthy Christianity. So the question is, are we healthy Christians? That's the question. He says all this, this short letter, just simply to describe what a healthy Christian looks like. And he says, if you're doing this, I have no greater joy. In 1 John, he says it this way, my joy is full. No greater joy than to know that you are walking in the truth. Now, here is the truth. I can't really know how healthy your Christian walk is. I can't. I can know if you're being a Diotrephes. I can know if you're causing trouble. I can know that. But I can't know if you're finding joy or just pretending to. I can't know if you're content or just pretending to be. I can't know if you're actually out there serving others or if deep down you're just wanting to draw attention to yourself. Because the heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I can't know these things. But here's what I know. The Spirit beareth witness with your spirit. That's what happens. So you know. I may not. You may be able to fool me. I may be able to fool you. But God knows who we are. The question is, are we healthy Christians? Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.